Welcome to the School of Life podcast with your host, Kalen Heyman. Today, we're talking about 10 ways to battle better with depression. This is something I've been personally dealing with for a majority of my adult life, actually my whole adult life. 16, I don't know, puberty kicks in 14, okay? But at 16, I really started to identify some of the symptoms and issues that I was personally dealing with at a young age. I remember my first therapist told me, do not smoke marijuana, whatever you do. Listen, doc, I'm sorry. I've been self-medicating. It's been part of my life. Cannabis, okay? I mean, it's the lesser of many evils, let me just say. That's how I kind of justify it to myself. Too much of anything's not a good thing. That's what I've learned also. But I'm turning 40. And listen, this is something I've been battling with my entire life. So why not just help break the stigma? Let's talk about it. Let's... Professional, well, listen, usually you're professional when you get paid to do things. Talking about depression's not one of them yet, but I want to be open about it because, listen, we all have shit that we battle with, that we deal with, and I would rather just kind of open up the gates to the conversation. I think this is valuable information, and I think that if you benefit, then I benefit. We're all kind of breaking down our walls, being vulnerable. That's another episode, and let's get right into it. Physical activity. Let's talk about it. What do you like to do? Listen, I don't know crippling depression. I know constant mental blockages, things that prevent me from moving forward in my life, getting stuck in my head, loneliness, isolation, so on and so forth. But physical activity is something that, for the most part, we have control over. Like, we don't always have control over our thoughts. And I'm speaking for myself, but I'm pretty sure it's common. Physical activity, on the other hand, is something that we could physically choose to do, and we should really find things that we enjoy. Personally, at the moment, jumping into the cold water, ideally the ocean, but I'll take a swimming pool if I need to, or lake. Not a big lake guy, but I do like the ocean, salt water, so I can float. And a couple years ago I was going through a bad breakup, and I was living by the ocean, and I had a friend. He wanted to go, you know, get me out of my head. He's like, Kalen, we're jumping in the water. This guy was a bit of a hippie. He wanted to take all his clothes off. I was like, okay, fuck it. Let's just enjoy the freedom and mindfulness of being free. Okay, I don't know why I did that, but I did. To date, I still wear a bathing suit because I find it more appropriate, even if there's little popsicles on them. It doesn't matter. I'm getting wet, but you don't need to see my junk. So physical activity, find what you enjoy. Personally, also, I enjoy hot yoga. You know, in cold seasons of the winter, I like to get in my body. I like to warm up my bones and activate. People think it's just stretching. Actually, no, it's quite a physical practice, and I do enjoy it. The sweat in the hot yoga makes me feel like I'm really doing something. So that's kind of exciting as well. Physical activity, just literally find what you enjoy to do. It doesn't have to be a sport per se. A lot of people aren't into hiking until you find the benefits of hikes. I've started to kind of push myself. I like hikes with a view or a destination. Obviously, you want to get to a viewpoint of sorts. Just find what works for you. So that's the tip number one. Find some physical activity. Number two. Now, this probably more with the crippling depression is hydration. I mean, look, we joke about being sacks of water. We're like 80, 95% sacks of water wrapped around our bone structure. There happens to be some brain activity and nervous system, and then some feelings. I don't know where they come from, but I got them too. That's another podcast. If we could deal with that, we'll do that. But hydration, look, H2O, I feel like you can never have enough. You can never have enough. And it's going to help, especially, you know, you mix this in with some of the choices. We're going to talk about nutrition in a minute, but, you know, hydration, can you stay hydrated? Look, I mean, ideally, we're not drinking sugar, water, sodas, alcohol, or over-consuming anything but H2O. I'm really just going to throw that in the mix. These are basics. I know these are basics, but it's like coming from someone that battles with it, you might have levels of degree of your own symptoms, but hydration is definitely one of them that's easily forgotten about. So let's talk about sobriety. I preach it. Okay, I've talked about my cannabis consumption. I know in the back of my mind, I'm telling myself, Kalen, sobriety equals success, right? So everything or anything in moderation that you do enjoy, But sobriety, specifically with alcohol, I mean, drugs is a whole other podcast, and narcotics, which I'm not as familiar with, but really, I mean, these things are depressants. Any sort of alcohol, even marijuana, which is crazy because it can alleviate all other types of symptoms. But in general, I mean, alcohol is, you're not going to wake up feeling too good the next day. It's a bit slower. And I really encourage, being a user or using these types of stimulants in a social celebratory situation so that you really are, it's not just escapism on a day-to-day or a coping mechanism, but really treat yourself in a celebratory environment or with people that you do enjoy their company, because you'll really reap the benefits in that environment. So sobriety, listen, I mean, if you're coming home drinking alone, I mean, you already know. I don't have to tell you, but I'm just saying sobriety is definitely a tip on getting towards happiness. I mean, we're never 100% happy all the time. It's just not possible. But depression can get in the way of your growth and development. So I'm here to say sobriety is on the top of my top five. It's on the top five of the list. Okay. Habits question mark. So breaking bad habits or consider the habits. I mean, you want healthy habits and then there's not so healthy habits. So we want good habits, clearly. And I don't even know. I mean, they say it takes 20 days to break a habit, maybe 20 days to form a habit. So consider some of the things that you're doing routinely. Maybe break those routines or do them differently or try them in different moderations or cancel them out altogether or at least take a break from some of the bad ones. So consider the habits and the things that you're doing on a day-to-day and break them or change them. See, you know, if things aren't working, which, you know, when you're battling with depression, it feels like sometimes just things aren't working out in your way. So we need to consider what types of habits we are. I mean, it's part of addiction, right? The good habits and the bad habits. Number five, nutrition. Again, things, I mean, when you're in your 20s, you're taking everything for granted. The younger you are, the more you're taking things for granted. And unless life-altering things happen to you, and then you're more grateful or thankful for some of the things in your life that help you. But nutrition isn't something I really took in consideration until I was in my 30s. And then finding things I do enjoy eating or consuming that make me feel good. Now, I'm not even considering going down a vegan or a vegetarian path. I grew up very healthy and with my family, and my mom cooked very nutritious food. To a degree that some of our friends would just leave at dinner time because they were like, "This, we know what your mom cooks and we ain't having it because we're not used to it." But she liked good ingredients. She always cooked from scratch. And I adopted that. I adopted that method. And I enjoy the kitchen because it is kind of my personal zone, personal space. So I'm able to kind of go shop, purchase things that I like, and then mix them in ways that I enjoy. So for example, I mean, I talk a lot about pancakes, and I've actually found some like vegan flours that are like quite fluffy. And it's what you do with the ingredients. So I love to put the fruit in it. Honestly, this is like every episode I mention pancakes. It's like the pursuit of happiness, right? So you're talking about depression. Let's like bring in some happy elements to the conversation. Yogurt, real maple syrup, try and use good products. And it's funny because you will notice instant energy from eating fruits and vegetables, raw fruits and vegetables especially. So consider what you're eating, because all your checks and balances. Again, I know you're going to be in the shit when you're battling with depression. And some days, you know, I'll be in a repeat of like coffee and muffins. I fucking love muffins. Hopefully I don't turn into a muffin man with the muffin face. And I don't want that kind of body or the chubbiness or whatever. You know, but these are things it's easy to like slip into new habits and patterns. But consider what you're eating and consider the times of days that you're eating and not eating too late before bed. And sometimes I do get the munchies when I'm consuming my cannabis. But, you know, consider the habits and routines that are affecting you in both negative and positive ways. Take a breath. Holy smokes. Number six. Creativity and self-expression. This is huge. So from an early days, right out the gates of identifying that, you know what, I wasn't going to be happy all the time. I didn't know that's what it was going to be. I thought it was just a phase. And you know what? By the way, side note, I wanted to say this at the top. For anyone who tells you that depression isn't real, fuck them. Okay? Fuck anybody. I mean, you don't have to tell them this, but in your mindset, it's like, go fuck yourself. Depression's real. I know it's real. I've been fucking with it. You know, I'm at my midlife. I'm pushing 40. I know this is going to be around. It's just going to be a part of who I am and how I cope with it. So, yeah, this is a little sidebar. Excuse the profanity, but seriously. Self-expression. So usually when you're younger, you're going to find music to identify to, and maybe that becomes part of your identity. And I found quite aggressive music, some hard rock type of screamo stuff. But I really identified it. Like, it really channeled my pain. And even today, like, I'll bring it back. I'll hit play. Again, you got to be careful of what you're consuming when it comes to media and influence, how that's affecting your brain if you're consuming this stuff on a regular basis. So, you know, I had to put down the angry music and stop being that person or letting that into my psychosis. But I do like channeling it because it hits a chord in a place that I identify some of the root causes of my past and my history and the things that did not make me feel good growing up. But it has allowed me to channel and even journal or create my self-expression through my photography. It's been a part of me also a majority of my adult life. And how I capture people and how I connect with people and how I find my voice and the things I talk about. So it could be any form of creation, but when you're battling with depression, self-expression is going to be huge. One of my favorite local artists here in Cape Town, Stanley, acoustic guitar, incredible vocalist. And I was in a melancholy kind of state. I'd recently broken up with somebody. I was walking through the waterfront and he was performing. On a break, I bought him a coffee and we became friends, and he came out and supported our community and been able to book him for a couple things. But my point being, he was singing from the soul. He was singing from pain. Even the introduction to one of his songs was written while he was considering suicide. And I'm sure he doesn't introduce his songs all the time like this, but depending on the audience and how safe he feels, he's being vulnerable. And that's where we, you know, to have that context and then share something so beautiful that's real and authentic was so special. So finding an outlet or finding a medium, whether it's writing, drawing, speaking, again, I preach, like, you got an audio recorder on your phone, you can just speak your thoughts, write your thoughts, and whether you choose to share is up to you. That's by no means, and don't do it for affirmation, don't do it for recognition, do it because you believe in it. And that's when things are really going to show something. They're going to prove something. You're going to feel good about it. That's what I think. Another sidebar note, another thing I learned that I was told and shared was that depression is suppressed anger. I can't disagree with that. I mean, based off my past and the way I feel and when I, you know, consider my inner child and my history and where some of these thoughts and feelings came from, it is exactly like that. I do agree that I've haven't dealt with some of my past, and therefore I deal with depression. And yeah, anger seems to be a common theme. Not something I show, okay? I mean, it has come out in various situations over life. It's part of life. But I think identifying, it's like, I have to say, the comparison of being an alcoholic, saying, you know, admitting to these things can let your guard down and kind of, again, help break the stigma, but also make things a little bit easier. I know we're always concerned about what people are going to think and feel about us and how they're going to treat us. But being vulnerable and letting our guard down and leading with that, information about ourselves I think is going to help. I mean, it's helped me. The more I talk about it, the less I'm feared. I fear it. So yeah. Number seven, talk. Maybe talk therapy or finding any platform or way to discuss the shit that you're going through. Whether it be at friends, I know family's really tough to talk about some of the most personal things. Usually a stranger is much easier to discuss what it is you're going through. So, you know, I mentioned in a previous podcast that a bit of a life hack is going to the barber or going, well, probably more hairstylist. You're in the chair for like almost an hour. Barber, it's like 10, 20 minutes. Hairstylist or bartender. Okay. And again, I'm not encouraging drinking, but these are some of the like kind of strangers that we tell all our shit to. We don't know why. It's just been a thing for decades, if not centuries. And finding, you know, talk therapy has been a part of my process on and off throughout my life. You know, it's hard to identify spiritual healing as to say this is what cured me or helped me, because it's not physical and it's not something you can see. But and it's not something you just wake up and feel right away necessarily. So it's a combination of all things. And you're choosing life and you're choosing to better yourself. So I'm sharing what's worked for me. Number eight, medication. I've been on antidepressants on and off for 20 years. I mean, no one wants to be on anything. I get that. For me, it's an antidepressant, 10 milligrams, one a day. And usually takes a better part of a year for the results to prove themselves or to really take notice that this is, you know, what's working for you. And then at that point, like, okay, I'm good. I'm going to come off them. And I've done that in the past, to which I just fell back down. You know, it's too much of a roller coaster. So this time I wanted to commit to 3 to 5 years of staying on a prescription. I must be rounding like three or four years, which is interesting. And I think, I mean, I look at myself is the other thing. You could look at yourself and be like, what's wrong with you, dude? I mean, you look great, you sound great, what the fuck? But I think when you're alone in that isolation, it can become a killer. And that's what really fucks with our health and well-being, is being alone with our thoughts. And I do tend to overthink. But if it gets to a point where your friends or family are like, what, they don't know how to help. I mean, they have their own issues and they're just trying to be supportive and give advice. And whether it be, you know, medicinal or spiritual or whatever the solutions might be, medication is usually on the table. You know, I mean, we've been developed humans for quite some time now. So it is something to consider. I know a lot of people are kind of against it. Or they don't want to be on something. But if months and years are going by and nothing's changing, I would highly consider medication as an option. I like CBD. I mean, I know and have been in relationship with people that have dealt with anxiety. And yeah, CBD is definitely something I keep on my shelf. In oil format, whether it's before bed or, I don't know, just being in an anxious state of mind where I don't feel like I have full control over my thoughts and feelings, and I need to focus on my breath, right? So I'll bring that back up to physical activities, like breath work, meditation. I'm going to preach these things for a long time, okay, because they've helped me, and I found instructors, be it in person or be it online and YouTube. Yeah, I'm going to throw that one in the medication section. Number nine, do things you enjoy. You know, and that's the thing with depression. You feel locked. You feel locked into like whatever routines or non-routines you're in. And you kind of lose track of the things that make you happy. You know, even creating these videos and talking about things I care about. Wasn't even sure it was something I wanted to do, and something I'm having to commit to myself over an extended period of time, because sharing this and getting it out there and building it's not something, but the process I do enjoy. Even doing one a day, right? Doing it, setting no expectations for yourself, but reminding yourself of the things that do make you happy. So go back to your inner child. Go back to being a kid. What are those things that you didn't touch on or pursue? Or think the feel that you just wasn't going to happen. Do it for yourself. Don't no one else. People like it, great. But I promise you, if you believe, I believe. Like, I believe in you, and I want to see that passion. I want to see that you found something that you enjoy. Don't care what it is. I think it's also fear of the unknown. When we haven't even tried something or done something before, or it's been a long time and we fell out of practice, you got to give yourself another chance. So this is me. You're watching me give myself second, eight, nine, tenth, 100th chance to do something that I love, I enjoy, I believe in, and here we are. So I encourage you to kind of tap back into those things, and whether it's your past or things you haven't done, give it a shot. Give it another shot. I believe in you. And number 10, last but not least, getting a little hot in the mic, find community. Join community. So when you've identified and reminded yourself the things that that do make you happy, find people and places and things that share those common interests. And that's tough too. But I guarantee and promise you, this is why, you know, I've been working and living in the global co-living space. It changed my life. And for so many reasons, to be seen and to be heard and to be supported, to share experiences, to not be in isolation, to have someone to talk to at the end of a day. The list goes on, but I shifted, you know, over 10 years of working in content marketing into community management and development. I highly recommend finding community. And if it's online, that's fine too, but you need this FaceTime. Like, you need the time to engage and interact and to share and to listen. That's a hard thing. It's listening, being a good listener. So that's it. Number 10, join a community. And let me break these down for you one more time. Battling with Depression, top 10 tips on the School of Life podcast with Kalen Heyman. Number 1, find something you enjoy in physical sport or activity. Number 2, stay hydrated, folks. Number 3, sobriety equals success. Number 4, find habits that make you feel good. Number 5, nutrition. Find the foods that make you feel good. Number 6, express yourself. Number 7, find someone to talk to. Number 8, consider alternative medications. Number 9, do things that make you happy and enjoy activities. And number 10, find a community. Again, my name is Kalen Heyman. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on the School of Life podcast.